This is Sportscaster.com's Open Mic with Johnny Kane on 760 WJR, featuring sports commentary and stories brought to you by the most compelling rising stars in sports broadcasting. Here's your host, Johnny Kane.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, November the 12th, and this is Open Mic. I'm Johnny Kane. A lot of good stuff to get into tonight. We're going to talk the biggest story of the Big Ten football season to this point, that being the unbeaten and second-ranked Indiana Hoosiers and their rise to national prominence. Number two team in the nation. How'd they get there? And can the program stay there? We're going to head to Bloomington, Indiana to find out. We'll also check in on the Detroit Red Wings and highlight one of the prospects who has taken an unlikely path, 20-year-old forward Emmett Finney from Alberta, Canada, seventh-round pick in 2023, now a frontline winger for a Detroit team that has surprised a lot of people with their hot start. Plus, we'll dive into the latest on the MHSAA football playoffs across the state. Brackets are set, schedule is out, as teams across Michigan vie for the right to play at Ford Field over Thanksgiving weekend. A somewhat surprising one-sided district final between Romeo and Macomb, Dakota. We'll talk about that game momentarily. That's all coming up on tonight's show here on Open Mic. But joining me to get things started is sportscaster contributor and Indiana University student Cooper Schoenberg, a sports media major at IU. Hoosiers sitting atop the Big Ten standings at 10-0, 7-0 in conference play, ranked second in the nation, as I mentioned, and a legitimate chance of running the tables in the regular season with just two games remaining on the schedule. They've got Wisconsin this weekend at home. Then they travel to in-state rival Purdue in the final game of the regular season a week from Saturday. Cooper, welcome back to the show. What's the vibe like on campus in Bloomington?
It's taken everything in me not to scream at the top of my lungs, but I got all of that out of me on Saturday. It's electric. I don't even know what else to say. There's like a buzz going around campus. I remember being at the bar on Saturday and all of us saying, like, you know, we're done. Like, we're down and out. If we lose this game, we are not going out tonight. And, you know, it's a Saturday. You're senior. You want to enjoy yourself. But, I mean, we were just going to be, you know, at its finest, depressed if we would have lost that game. I mean, we started off hot. It was a bit of a choke. And we had about 10 of our buddies make the trip out to Happy Valley. And, you know, now an infamous picture with one of our friends with his head and his hands on his knees. We had lost all hope, and that final drive takes place. And I can either get into it right now or we can get into it later, but just every single play was just something spectacular after the next. And I remember that first play was a horrible sack. Just the air got taken out of all of our breaths. And we're like, wow, that's other than a turnover. That's the one thing that cannot happen. And then it just built and built and built.
Dude, what a time to be alive. Honestly, like, what a time to be alive to witness that. You talk about, like, the final drive. Like, you know, what's getting a lot of run is obviously the final play, Fernando Mendoza to Amari Cooper in the back of the end zone for the go-ahead score. Gus Johnson's on the call. He loses himself. He's out of breath, like the high-pitched, Amari Cooper. And some people are critical of the play, but if you listen to, like, as it builds, and if you've ever done play-by-play, you're still a fan of the sport at heart. So it's like, as you get there, sometimes your voice does crack. Was it theatrical? Was it genuine? I felt like it was. And I just felt like if you were a fan of IU, you probably couldn't hear the call in real time because the bar was pretty noisy. But what's your take?
You know, I'll say a couple things. Two favorite broadcasters of all time, Doc Emmerich and Gus Johnson. So maybe I'm already a little biased with Gus, and then maybe I'm even more biased because it's my team. But put yourself in his shoes.
Right.
You know, put yourself in our shoes as Indiana Hoosier fans. Look at Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler not even paying attention to the game that they're calling, but reacting to the play on the field in Happy Valley that Indiana had just made. For him to make that call, like, right now, getting chills just thinking about it, you know, replaying it in my head. Obviously did not hear a single thing in the moment. Fox Sports, you know, college football all over my feed on Instagram, on TikTok, on Snapchat, people asking me about it. Chills down my spine. I thought it was unbelievable. He was just progressively getting more and more out of breath as each play, because it seemed like after the sack, as I alluded to before, just first down after first down, and our tight end, hats off to him, making the most unbelievable catch the play before, get one break, and then arguably one of the best toe tappers in college football. The fact that he got that foot down was just, you know, encapsulated by the, whoa, oh my Cooper Jr., give him the Heisman Trophy now. He couldn't even speak. Joel Klatt, jaw dropped to the floor, and Gus could not speak. I'm getting so worked up by it right now, but it was amazing. The game was amazing. This team is amazing. I'm really excited for what's to come because we got an absolute cupcake in the Badgers and an absolute dog walk in the Boilermakers. I don't even want to think about that bummy. You know, it's a kid-friendly show, so I'm not going to swear. But that bum team down in Lafayette, yeah. Whatever. We're going undefeated in OSU. We're probably going to see you in the BTS championship.
We'll get into all that. We are up against a break here, but that was – you know, to your point, it's special for you because you're a student there. 27-24 come from behind win. It keeps everything intact, right? I mean, that's like you remain unbeaten. College football rankings come out. All you've got to do is handle business the rest of the way, get into the postseason, and anything can happen, obviously, in the postseason. The Indiana football program has existed for 138 years. And at one point in time, it owned the record for the most losses in Division I history, had the worst winning percentage in Big Ten history. That was all before Kurt Cignetti's arrival as head coach last year. Only 14 teams in program history had earned a trip to a bowl game before Kurt got there. That's all in the past. December 2023, Tom Allen dismissed his head coach. IU athletic director Scott Dolson names the then 62-year-old Kurt Cignetti, who had tremendous success in the lower levels of college football, like James Madison, Elon, Indiana University of Pennsylvania. And many said, who's Kurt Cignetti? Cignetti says at his introductory press conference, I win. Google me. And in year one, they did win. They finished 11-2, made it to the CFP, lost to Notre Dame in the first round of the playoffs. Of course, Notre Dame would go on, play for a national title before losing to Ohio State in the championship game. But they keep winning. Unbeaten now in his second season. And there's one young man who's witnessed it up close and personal every step of the way. That is Indiana student and sportscaster contributor, Cooper Schoenberg, sports media major. Coop, tell me about the belief now that's been restored, the hope, the energy in Bloomington as you guys look to achieve the ultimate prize, which is, dare I say, a national championship at Indiana University.
I mean, you can go on, you know, various social media platforms and you'll see these videos being made where it was like 2 years ago, you couldn't even get a quarter of the stands at Memorial Stadium filled. You couldn't pay people to go to this game. I remember as a freshman, my parents came and visited me and for Parents Weekend, and we ended up going to the game and we went to like the box office and the guy's like, here, you got three of you, take them for, you know, $12 in total. They were $4 a pop, like no tax, no nothing. Like, just take them. We don't care. We don't want them anymore. It's a waste of space. Me and my friends, we always talk about it, how lucky we are to be seniors and to be able to witness this as seniors at our house right on the main road of Kirkwood here in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana. And it's storybook. It's magical. This team is unbelievable. The city is buzzing. You see just like an uptick in visitors where like you weren't getting up for like Saturday was a sleeping day 2 years ago. Now you are up and at 'em at 7 a.m. You're getting ready because you got one thing. Who's your football on your mind? You know, you go to the bar, you go to tailgate. That entire place is packed. When you could not fill lots or spaces at the tailgate fields, there is just a sea of crimson and white, and it is awesome. You get into the stadium, it is electric, and then the team does what they do. It's been 138 years. To break that down, that's 1 plus 3 plus 8. That's 12. We're 10-0 right now. We got two games left. We are going to go 12-0 because, as I alluded to, a cupcake and a dog walk of our next two opponents. And people just know it ain't no trap game anymore. We are going to win. We are going to the Big Ten championship. We are going to the CFP playoffs. This offense that is run by Fernando Mendoza, who is a future Heisman winner and a future number one overall pick, is amazing. The wide receiver core and the O-line to go with it is amazing. The running back group and the stacked. Aiden Fisher, D'Angelo Pons, Kamara. I could go on and on about the defense. It's not a one-sided affair. When you need a stop, the defense makes it. When you need a score, like last game, going all the way down after a sack in the fourth quarter, the offense does it. This team is awesome. This city is awesome. This school is awesome. I love it. I'm out of breath.
You and Gus Johnson both out of breath. Look, you know, last year, I remember when they went on the run, Curtis Rourke, who was the quarterback, transferred in from my alma mater, Ohio University, obviously led them to prominence before they bowed out to Notre Dame. And you mentioned, so the Cal transfer, Fernando Mendoza, who is going to be, I would assume he's going to be invited to New York as one of the Heisman finalists. I think it's a testament to the current state of college football, where you've got to, like, even Purdue, which, you know, you guys will finish the season against, they have like something like 80 new guys on the roster this season. So with the transfer portal and all of that, Indiana had to overturn the roster of the program that Kurt Cignetti inherited from Tom Allen. So you have to have competitive play at the quarterback position. Last year they had it with Rourke. This year they have it with Fernando Mendoza. So you say, is this a sustainable model, right? Can you continue to go out and have high caliber performance from your skill position, whether it be the running back group, your receivers, or at the quarterback position? But Cignetti's been able to do that. Let me ask you about Kurt Cignetti first and foremost, because I think, like, when I was growing up, I always liked Indiana. You know, I grew up in Northwest Ohio, always watched Indiana basketball. That obviously, we don't need to explain that that's what that university has typically been known for. But I always liked Bobby Knight, and I had a chance to meet Bobby Knight one time, and I said, I'm going to play for you one day, Coach Knight. It was like, when he's your guy, like when your guy is the face of your university, when you have an outspoken or somewhat brash leader, when he's your guy, you love it, you know? And if he's not your guy, it's like, yeah, I don't much care for him. Cignetti, in his own way, I don't know there's anybody more confident than Kurt. And he was a relative unknown as far as college football commodities from a head coaching standpoint, because he had done it at all these lower levels, and now he's emerged. You know, like, he's not a known name like a Brian Kelly, right? Or even like when Urban Meyer went from, you know, Florida to Ohio State, you know, it was a big deal for Ohio State to get a guy like that, that you totally believed in. And I give credit to the IU administration by saying, if you get it right at the top, and they signed him, like 8-year extension, $93 million, a huge pay increase, it makes him one of the highest paid coaches in the FBS. As a student, how much do you guys relish the fact that Kurt Cignetti is the face of your program for the foreseeable future?
I think they really understood what he was all about when he had, you know, his inaugural press conference at the basketball game.
Right.
And the people in the stands were like, all right, let's hear another, you know, sorry coach yap. And he said, you know, I win, look me up, Google it, whatever. And everybody was like, okay, kind of corny, whatever. And then he goes, we are going to kill Purdue. And everybody's like, yeah, we're going to kill anybody could kill Purdue. The Groves Falcons, my alma mater, could kill Purdue. Then he said, but I don't just want Purdue. I want Michigan. Yeah. I want Ohio State. You know, last year he didn't get OSU, but he got Michigan. This year went into Eugene, got the Ducks, went into Happy Valley, a place that this Hoosier football program has never won. And I believe it was Jenny Taft before the game, or someone before the game interviewed him on the field. And they said, this Hoosier team has never won in Happy Valley. And he just immediately responds with, this team has never played in Happy Valley.
Right, right.
The all-time record is 0-0. And you hear something like that and just juice. And she said, you know, her rebuttal was like, you're right, this team is special. They haven't lost. But you said you had some concerns. He goes, there's no concerns right now. Now is the time to execute. And that's exactly what they did. It doesn't matter if you win every game by 1 point. You're going to take a win whatever way you can get it. And he wins. When last year, you know, his first season, you thought, okay, maybe, you know, it's just lucky, just first season luck. And maybe he's going to have a sophomore slump. Well, now we're already better than we were last year. We have a much more impressive resume than we did last year. You got Elijah Surratt that came with him from JMU. He's the nation's top receiver. Fernando Mendoza, transferred from Cal, like you said. Now, signing that contract makes us all believe that not only are we going to keep getting transfers, but the recruiting classes are only going to get better. And that is what is going to keep us sustainable for, you know, the future, where we're going to keep winning because we're going to keep getting these players. And there's no turnover in the coaching staff right now. I love our offensive coordinator, our defensive coordinator. And then Sig just comes up with these schemes and these plans and he executes. And that is how we win. And the way we keep winning is by him just being a dog, going out there, getting the guys that he wants, like a Fernando Mendoza. And then you just see it, you know, come to fruition. Like, I'm going to make this guy the nation's top quarterback. That's exactly what he is. And now we're the nation's top team.
Yeah, no, it's special, man. And I'm happy for you guys. Obviously, you know, probably the majority of our listeners have an allegiance in the Big Ten to program like, you know, Michigan or Michigan State. Obviously, I have ties to Ohio State, but like Indiana and Penn State to some degree. You know, Penn State moves on from James Franklin and they're in full-fledged what their expectations were. I think they were like a preseason top three team. And now they're, you know, be lucky to finish, you know, 500 on the year. And now you see a team like Indiana that has been in the Big Ten before they expanded. And you say, why not? It can happen. Kurt Cignetti is a unicorn in that he's come into an established program, as we've mentioned a couple times now. You know, it's been in existence for 138 years. There have been a lot of predecessors to Kurt Cignetti who had visions, had ideas, had dreams of what they can make this program. He's been the only one to lift a Hoosiers football program to number two in the nation. And because of the way the schedule shakes out, because of expansion, they don't play Ohio State in the regular season. So you could say, is that unfortunate or fortunate? Well, they could go unbeaten in the regular season and would get Ohio State, as long as Ohio State takes care of its business down the stretch, in a Big Ten championship game, which would be played at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. And I know Buckeyes fans travel really well, but...
We already got our tickets. We're going to travel better.
Of course you do. I bet those weren't $4 a pop.
Nope.
But that'll be, you know, amazing if they can do it. Hoosiers have won the conference twice in its history, but not since, what, 1967, I believe. So I have to check that, but I'm pretty sure it's been a long, long time since Indiana's
been. Called a long time.
Yeah, let's just call it a long time. Before you and I were in existence. But, well, enjoy the ride, man. Honestly, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for all who bleed the crimson and white there. And it's exciting, man. It's exciting times. And I guess we'll reset when we get closer to the Big Ten championship game on Saturday, December the 6th, should the Hoosiers make it to Lucas Oil Stadium. All right. Always good to have Cooper Schoenberg on the program. Appreciate the time, brother. Enjoy that senior year in Bloomington, Indiana. I'm your host, Johnny Kane, and we are talking Red Wings hockey. Red Wings got off to a torrid start to begin the season. They have since hit the skids here just a little bit. They've lost three in a row. They sit at 9-7-0 overall. But during this losing skid, and if you go back to the game before they hit the skid, they've only scored 4 goals over the last 4 games. So the power play has been idle during the losing streak. Head coach Todd McClellan says that personnel moves could be coming. Now, the Red Wings play again tomorrow, and obviously that's going to give McClellan and his group a chance to kind of assess the best lineup to help pull this team out of its skid. Nate Danielson was the team's top pick in 2023. He made his debut against the Chicago Blackhawks last time out. 21-year-old forward, Nate Danielson, promoted from the Grand Rapids Griffins. If you remember, he started the season, he was injured, and then went down to the AHL, only played in 4 games, but obviously showed out very well, and he got the recall to the NHL team. So he's one of the guys, a top 10 prospect, I think number 7 if you look at most of the rankings, and he's a guy that has a lot of people talking. There's another big surprise in the NHL when it comes to the Red Wings, and that is 20-year-old forward Emmett Finney from Alberta, Canada. He was a 7th-round pick in 2023, and he's now a frontline winger for this Wings team that has surprised a lot of people with their hot start. Finney with 4 goals, 4 assists through 16 games so far. And if you go back to training camp when they were up in Traverse City and talking with McClellan, he said, you know, I don't think Emmett's been one of those guys that has been riding the break. And he stood out, and now he's getting an opportunity paired on the front line with the likes of Dylan Larkin and Lucas Raymond. Emmett Finney wears sweater number 58, and he has really emerged as one of these young guys that maybe wasn't heralded as one of the next great things for the Wings, but certainly, you know, helps to prove the idea of, given the opportunity, what can you do with it? And if you go all gas, no brakes, can you be an impactful player at the highest level in the game, which is the National Hockey League? And right now, Emmett Finney is proving that that can be done. One of our newest sportscaster contributors, his name is Noah Shimami. He's a graduate of Full Sail University, and he offers his commentary on the young Red Wings forward, Emmett Finney.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Sportscasters Open Mic Radio Show. I'm your host, Noah Shimami. And today we've got a compelling tale of persistence, surprise, and rising star talent, the journey of Emmett Finney of the Detroit Red Wings. Now, Finney's path isn't the one you typically hear about. He was selected in the seventh round of the 2023 NHL draft to the Red Wings. For most seventh round draft picks, the odds of even making it to the NHL is very unlikely. Even just getting into the lineup is a big one. But Finney has flipped that script. As early as this season, reports show that he's not only made the roster out of camp, but he's earned meaningful minutes, cracked the top line, and become a trusted piece of Detroit's youth movement. For example, he found himself playing on the same line as veterans like Dylan Larkin and superstar Lucas Raymond. A pretty big deal for a seventh rounder. Now, just a few years ago, while playing in the Western Hockey League with the Kamloops Blazers, Finney recorded 0 goals in his first 48 games. Now he's in Detroit contributing both offensively and defensively, blocking shots, creating turnovers, and skating where he belongs. His coaches have taken notice. Head coach Todd McClellan mentioned that while they didn't have high expectations on Finney at the start of camp, he's earned the trust of the staff and his teammates, and that trust matters. Even more than goals, maybe because it signals he's performing in all phases, offensive, defensive, and special teams. Let's talk about the impact of Finney. According to recent stats, Finney is among the top rookie scorers in the league. And for a young player selected so late, that's extraordinary. It challenges the assumption that only early round picks matter. It reminds us that scouting and development don't stop at the early rounds. Those hidden gems exist in the late. The Red Wings organization gets some credit here for spotting and developing Finney. For the younger athletes listening in, especially in high school or youth hockey, this is inspiring. You're watching someone who entered with modest expectations, fought his way in, embraced every role, and now is seizing opportunity after opportunity. It's a reminder. Your draft position or initial ranking doesn't define your ceiling. Your work ethic and adaptability does. So what does this mean for the Red Wings? For Finney, it signals the strength of Detroit's rebuild, the depth of their scouting, and the vitality of their youth movement. If Finney continues on this trajectory and he's off to a serious start, he might become a cornerstone of this franchise's next wave. Let me ask you guys something. If you were in Emmett Finney's shoes, drafted late, largely overlooked, how would you approach your first NHL season? Would you focus on the defensive reliability or simply earn every shift and let the results follow on the offensive side? I'm Noah Shimami. Thank you for tuning in.
All right, good stuff from Noah Shimami. That is his first commentary here on Open Mic. And to his point, I think it's always important to look at guys who are sometimes unheralded as they come up, who can blossom into stardom. Obviously, we see examples of that in every sport. You know, one guy, if I can make a parallel from the NHL to the NBA, and one of the Pistons' most recent wins last time out over the Washington Wizards on Monday night, we saw a guy named Danis Jenkins, who, you know, was a good college player, get an opportunity on a two-way contract to play for the Detroit Pistons. And he had a career night, 24 points and helping leading the Pistons to a come from behind win over the Washington Wizards, which pushed their win streak to 7 straight games. So sometimes some of the early round, the highly heralded prospects that come up, we all attach to it and we say, what can they be? And then there are guys like a Danis Jenkins who we don't necessarily know, but we see when given the opportunity can perform at the highest level. Emmett Finney is what we're seeing right now on an upstart Detroit Red Wings team, again, skating on the front line alongside Dylan Larkin and Lucas Raymond. So the Wings' next home game is coming up Thursday against the Anaheim Ducks. They did face once earlier this season. Anaheim won that meeting 5-2 at their place. We'll see what the Wings have in store as they try to snap a three-game losing skid. They are back on the ice at home coming up tomorrow against Anaheim. We have talked about college football, one of the biggest surprise stories in the entire college football world, not just in the Big Ten, but Indiana's rise to prominence. We've also talked about the young up-and-comer Emmett Finney, the star forward for the Detroit Red Wings, and how he has helped the resurgence with Todd McClellan and that Red Wings team as they get set for their next home game coming up on Thursday against the Anaheim Ducks. And now we switch to high school football. The MHSAA playoffs are underway. And one of the surprise outcomes, I think, of this postseason has to be the district final between Macomb, Dakota and Romeo. It's always been a great MAC Red rivalry, but it was completely one-sided on Friday night as Romeo rolled to a 56-0 victory to advance to the regional finals. Sportscaster contributor Giovanni Mascheri, he's our host of Drive to the Game. He is also a 2020 graduate of Dakota High School. He was there, and he offered this game summary.
My name is Giovanni Mascheri. The district championship between the Romeo Bulldogs and the Dakota Cougars, it was 56-0, all Romeo, all night long. It was an absolute stunner, at least to me. When you ask the players, though, they have a different story. Afterwards, I was able to get a few interviews, not only with some of the players, but the coach as well. I'll go over that after a quick game recap. So the game started off where it was a defensive struggle, but both defenses were playing very strong in the first couple of possessions, keeping things to about a first down and then a punt, if not a three and out in those first few possessions. But towards the end of the first quarter, that's when Romeo got on the board to make it 7-0 going into the second quarter. But Dakota's offense was really struggling from the jump, didn't really get to wake up the same way that Romeo's offense did once it started to break through that Dakota defense. But once it started going for Romeo, it was unstoppable. 14-0 would be the score midway through the second quarter. It was just an absolute avalanche afterwards on that. Passing touchdown, 21-0. Then it was a punt return to bring it to the one that was punched in. 28-0. Pick six, 35-0. It came so fast that I was trying to upload the video that you guys saw on my Instagram that once I recorded the first one, then another one happened. And by the time I actually ended up posting it, it was about halftime where it was 42-0. Romeo was just all over them. And I credit that to, I would say, the atmosphere. I love the atmosphere. That was part of it, as well as this Romeo team holding Dakota in such high regard in terms of wanting to beat them badly, because over the previous few years, that's really been the theme where Dakota was laying the smackdown on Romeo. This was finally the year that they were able to get their revenge, beating them twice for the first time in a single season in a very long time. It was something that meant a lot to this senior class, as well as the rest of the team, to be able to do that to Dakota. We'll get more into the players' thoughts afterwards, but just to kind of continue with the game recap here, the game flow. After it was 42-0, there really was nothing Dakota was able to do. Interceptions aplenty, turnovers and mistakes. The things that really cost them the game the first time around when they played on October 3rd or 4th of this regular season. And they just were not able to get things done and leave scoreless in the playoffs in the district final. And then once I was able to get a conversation in, not only with Coach Rynas, but also with Joey Kakko, a senior captain who was injured in week 5, but was still there on the sideline supporting his team. I was able to get a word with him as well as quarterback Sammy Nepa. So the biggest message that I got when I was talking to Joey Kakko was the team chemistry this year was really what made the difference for them. After their playoff loss against Eisenhower in last year's playoffs in the district semifinals, the opening round, the day after, they had a team-led weight session, and that really got the ball rolling for the team to really bond and really get that chemistry going that served them well and paid dividends throughout the regular season and now into the playoffs here. So that was a huge piece to it as well. And Coach Reines is one that pays very close attention to the individual player, able to connect with them on and off the field and really instilling that belief that they can do whatever they set their mind to. The team really took note and really bought in to what Coach Reines was selling, and it was something that really permeated throughout the whole team. And you can really see it on the field. And in addition to that, when I first ran into Mr. Kakko, I was just kind of looking at the score, and it was maybe 35-0 at this point. And I was just kind of shocked, and he was not shocked at all. He told me that this is how they do business. We do things differently up here, is what he told me of what the Romeo Bulldogs do. This result, 56-0, was no shock to them, even though it was a shock to those in the media, myself included. And then when I got a chance after the trophy raising and all the ceremonies were had, I got a chance to talk to Coach Reines about the team this year. And he was talking about the team leadership, the senior leadership that they have, everyone just playing together and just kind of going back to what Kakko was saying about the team chemistry. Coach reflected that as well. And trying to get a little snippet as to what their matchup might look like against Rochester Adams. But it will be a chance for Romeo to get revenge over Rochester Adams, who defeated them early in the regular season as part of their 0-2 start to that season. Remember, I mean, as dominant as Romeo has been, especially in conference play, they started 0-2. Rochester Adams, one of the teams responsible for that, so they get a chance in the regional final to get revenge on that. And finally, when it comes to the rivalry between Romeo and Dakota, I asked Coach Reines about that, and you know, from what I heard, that the Romeo and Dakota rivalry is a little bit more intense than the other ones in the MAC Red. And he smirked at me and just said, I think every team would say that about every other team in the MAC Red. That's just how competitive the conference usually is, whether it's Ike and Dakota, Romeo and Ike. You get every combination of MAC Red teams, all of them will say that whoever they're playing is their biggest rival. That's what Coach Ryan has told me. And from seeing a lot of MAC Red play in my time, gonna have to agree with the head coach on that one. I talked to quarterback Sammy Nepa, number two for the Bulldogs, about all those kind of similar things. And he had a really interesting take as to how their team has really come together this season to accomplish what they have so far. And he pointed out to me that Romeo doesn't necessarily have a ton of recruited players on their team. If anybody, it's their kicker, who was perfect after all those touchdowns, made every extra point. Other than that, the team did not really have any offered players, and that really kind of gave them more of a blue-collar mentality. And he told me that they were fueled by, quote, the power of friendship, believe it or not. And that was something that really brought the team together. I asked him about how does it feel to beat Dakota, especially in this fashion. And it's something that really does mean a lot to this team because of all the losses they've suffered at the hands of the Cougars in previous seasons. To be able to do it twice in pretty dominant fashion in both times was something that meant a lot to this team. And he also reflected their chance of getting revenge against Rochester Adams coming up next week. That'll be on the road for them, as they'll be playing at Adams High School this coming Friday. So overall, to put a bow on this game here, your district finals, your district champions in the Romeo Bulldogs, the Bulldogs pulled out the buzzsaw for this one. The atmosphere was incredible. Packed student sections, as students flooding and rushing the field afterwards as well to share in that celebration of a district championship trophy. So as a Dakota grad, I tip my cap to the Bulldogs, a successful district championship had, and they're not done yet, as they will face Rochester Adams, who defeated Stony Creek in the meantime. They'll be facing them on Friday, and we'll get some coverage for that as well here for sportscaster.com.
Our thanks to Giovanni Moscheri as he gets warmed up as the temperatures have turned. It is the first Division I district championship for Romeo going back to 2020, so best of luck to them in the next round against Rochester Adams in the regional final. 2025 MHSAA Michigan High School football finals are scheduled for November 30th. Of course, talking about 11-man football. That'll be held November 29th and the 30th at Ford Field in Detroit. And then the 8-man championship will be contested on November the 22nd. So always a good time. I've had an opportunity over the years to call some of those high school football finals, but I know, you know, how big of a kick it is for all the players at all levels, all divisions, to have that opportunity to step onto the field where the Lions do their business and play for state championships. So with the playoffs underway, we'll continue to follow it here on Sportscaster throughout the postseason as it culminates in the championships, which will be played at Ford Field that final weekend in November. I do want to thank all of our guests who we had on today. Cooper Schoenberg from Indiana University, living the life as a college senior at IU, as Kurt Cignetti has turned that program around. Again, their highest ranking in program history, number two. They have risen in the college football rankings as they have their eyes set on a Big Ten championship and potentially a national championship once we get to the CFP. Also want to thank Noah Shimami, our newest sportscaster contributor from Full Sail University, for his commentary on the young Red Wings forward Emmett Finney. And also to Giovanni Macheri, who braved the conditions. As we know, playoff football here in the state of Michigan at the high school level, it can get a little breezy out there at night as we get a little bit deeper into November as we target the state championships coming up at the end of the month. So thank all of our guests for being on here this week. And of course, we always appreciate you tuning in. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you learned a little something about the aforementioned topics. And as always, we will see you every Wednesday night here on WJR for Open Mic. I'm Johnny Kane. We will see you next time. Until then, Godspeed.